Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, I speak a human thing because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from justice. What fruit, therefore, had you then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of them is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, life everlasting, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be cut down, and shall be cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Beware of false prophets who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. These words are taken from the Gospel for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, since the time of the 1949 Communist Revolution in China under Mao Zedong, Chinese Catholics have lived in a near constant state of persecution. In some places in China, it was and still is forbidden to practice the true Catholic faith. One such place is the Fujian province. It is against the law to practice the Catholic faith, the true Catholic faith, and the Fujian province. This province is located in southeastern China. But despite this, many Catholics over the decades have persevered in their practice of the faith in secret. Now, there's a true story about a man from this particular province in China. The man, whom we shall call Charles, and his family were devout Catholics. And they were among those who attended secret masses in various homes, and who even hosted the mass in their own home. They were among the devout Catholics of China who put their lives on the line for the sake of the mass and the sacraments. For they truly understood how important it was to attend mass and receive the sacraments, and thereby obtain the graces that were so necessary for them to persevere during those difficult times. Well, one night, in the middle of the night, Mass was being celebrated at Charles's home. Lookouts were stationed outside to watch for the police or for officials of the Chinese government. At the end of Mass, the sentries came in, and they informed the priest and the faithful that the Chinese officials were on the way. And so everyone scattered. The priest hid, the people ran off, except, of course, Charles and his family. They could not flee because it was their home. At length, the officials reached the house, they broke in, and they arrested Charles. They then took him to a prison, and there they began to interrogate him. "Where is the priest?" they asked. Tell us where the priest is, and we'll let you go. Charles refused, and so they began to torture him. For 3 to 4 weeks, day after day, night after night, they electrocuted him, and they burned him in all parts of the body. Just tell us where the priest is, they said, and you can go back to your family. Just tell us where the priest is, and you can go home. But this man being electrocuted and burned all over his body, he knew that if he told, it would amount to a denial of his faith. Charles knew that if he told, his family and his friends would not have Mass or be able to receive the sacraments for a very long time. And he loved his faith that much that by the grace of God, he could not bring himself to do it. Well, after weeks and weeks of torture, the officials realized that they could not break this man, and so they let him go. Sometime after being released, Charles was able to arrange passage to the United States. And when he got to America, he was so overjoyed because, among other things, he could go to Mass every single day. He could receive Holy Communion every single day. He could do this as he pleased without worry or fear, without anxiety of any sort. He realized that he could attend Mass with his family and receive the sacraments in broad daylight, and no one was arresting him for it. But he also realized something else very quickly. He realized that in America, the harder you work, the more money you make. In America, if you do more, you get more in return. And he wanted to give more to his family. He wanted to do more. He wanted to be more. He desired to be like his American friends, to have the things they had, to seek the worldly comforts and pleasures that they sought. And he was influenced by these worldly friends. And so very soon, Charles found that he did not have enough time to go to daily Mass. As time went on, he would occasionally skip Sunday Mass. More time went by, and he'd only go to Mass on Christmas and Easter. And soon, he did not even go on Easter. Eventually, Charles stopped practicing his Catholic faith. What communism and torture could not do, what electrocution and burning could not do, the spirit of worldliness, that obsession with material possessions, with success, with pleasure, and the influence of worldly companions did. And they didn't even have to try. Torture could not break Charles's devotion to his faith. The wolves in plain sight in China could not destroy his love for the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. But the wolves in sheep's clothing, the hidden enemies in America, they were able to strip this love and devotion from him, and they didn't even have to try. A wolf in sheep's clothing, my dear friends, is an expression that refers to anyone or anything that has the outward appearance of good, but which on the inside is not good, and which ultimately will lead to evil. And in today's gospel, our divine Savior issues a solemn warning. Beware of false prophets, he says, who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly are ravening wolves. When our Lord used this analogy of a wolf in sheep's clothing, he used it, strictly speaking, in reference to teachers of error and teachers of lies, those who present their errors or lies under the disguise of good. In our day and age, the hierarchy and clergy of the new church are among these wolves or teachers of error who come to us in the clothing of sheep. That is, in the clothing of the Catholic Church, but who inwardly are wolves ravening for the faith and morals of Catholic people. But the expression wolf in sheep's clothing can be applied to many other facets of life. Wolves in sheep's clothing can be those persons or things that appear to be good, things that please us, that entertain us, and so on, but which will lead us away from the practice of the true faith. And very often we encounter these wolves on a daily basis, and often without even realizing it. We must therefore be ever vigilant. We must always be on guard. For if we are not vigilant in caring for our faith, if we are not watchful in fleeing from the wolves in sheep's clothing, then we run the risk of having our faith stripped from us, little by little, just as Charles did. You know, he didn't lose his faith overnight. He didn't stop attending Mass at the proverbial drop of a dime. His downward slide started, no doubt, by neglecting his rosary and his daily prayers because he, quote-unquote, did not have time. And this spiraled downward to the eventual loss of his faith. And you know what the really alarming thing is about this whole scenario? It all happened to him. Little by little, and he did not even realize it. That's how imperceptible the loss of his faith was. This man was tortured for the faith. He was prepared to lay down his life for the Mass and the sacraments. But in a matter of months, a matter of years, he was not even willing to lay down a couple hours of his time on a Sunday to attend Mass, or 15 minutes of his day to pray his rosary. What the wolves in plain sight could not do to him in China, the wolves in cover of sheep did to him in America. And we, my dear friends, are not immune to the influence of the world. We are not exempt from this danger. And therefore, we must not let ourselves grow complacent and think that just because we are traditional Catholics, blessed with the true faith, that we will go to heaven by that fact alone. For there are many wolves that prowl about in the clothing of sheep, seeking one thing: to devour our souls. So how do we know? How do we know the difference between the wolves and the sheep? How can we discover the wolves that are hiding beneath the clothing of sheep? Our Lord told us how. By their fruits, he said, you shall know them. That is how we discover the wolves that hide behind the clothing of sheep, by their fruits. With regard to persons, we can tell by what they do, how they speak, what they believe, and whether or not they lead us into sin. With regard to things, we can tell by whether they bring us nearer to God or lead us away from Him, or lead us away from the practice of our faith. If someone or something is leading us away from God, if work, if comfort, if entertainment, even if sleep, if these are leading us away from God or from the practice of our faith, if some activity is leading us to neglect our attendance at Mass or even the recitation of our daily prayers, we must straighten out our priorities, and we must give the practice of our faith the right of way. If some person is an occasion of sin for us, even though we may enjoy his company, even though we may get along very well with him, even if he is very popular with others, if that person is an occasion of sin, we must refrain from associating with him, because he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and associating with him puts our soul in grave danger. Instead of taking chances with the wolves in sheep's clothing, then, putting ourselves at risk, let us take care of our Catholic faith, this most wondrous gift of Almighty God. You know, it's such a blessing in these days of confusion and chaos that we have the one true faith. Let us be grateful for it, and let us value it in its true light, making it the most important thing in our lives. Let us treasure it, let us love it, and let us diligently protect it against the spiritual danger we face today, and practice it in spite of all obstacles. Asking the Blessed Virgin Mary each day to help us, imploring her protection each day against the sinful but alluring world in which we live. For if we do this, and if we are vigilant, valiantly avoiding the occasions of sin, fighting off the wolves in sheep's clothing, we will never suffer the same fate as Charles. For this is the will of God for us. And as our Lord said in the Gospel today, he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.